take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Thank you for that song. Praise the Lord. He gave himself. John chapter number 8. We are going to take the teaching and preaching time for this morning and focus our attention on someone who is our enemy. God is your friend. The devil is your enemy. God loves you. Watch this. No more talking. Look right up here. No more talking, okay? The devil is your enemy and God is your friend. Watch this. The devil hates you and God loves you. I want to give you something else, and we'll talk about that in our introduction. But the devil will always lie to you, and the Lord will always tell you the truth. And so I want to expose the devil for who he is. John chapter number 8, if you look at verse number 42, John chapter 8 and verse number 42, we'll read some of the words of Christ and what he has to say about the devil, beginning in John chapter 8, verse 42. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the scripture. John 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. We're going to preach on this subject this morning, the father of all lies, the father of all lies. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I certainly need your help this morning. I would ask, Lord, that you would please focus my attention, dear God, on you and on your word. And I pray, dear God, that you would quiet the auditorium and still the hearts. And may I, Lord, be gifted the full attention of everyone here. Thank you for just a wonderful crowd, dear God, and all the events of the day. But Lord, if we don't focus in and we don't get what's going on right now, this day could be a waste. And by the way, a tragic waste for some folks, an eternal waste for some folks, dear God. So may we all pay great attention, not only to what the preacher has to say, but to what the Word of God is saying, and then what the Spirit of God is saying to each of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The father of all lies, the father of all lies. Let me again repeat what I just said. I want to establish this, though it'll be very firm in your mind. Listen to me, folks. God is for you and the devil is against you. All right? God is your friend and the devil is your enemy. God wants to help you and make your life good. The devil wants to destroy everything he can destroy in your life, okay? God, watch this, God will always tell you the truth. Now we're glad about that, but the honest truth is, come on now, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. But he'll always tell you the truth. But let me tell you this, the devil will always lie to you. Now, I don't know about you, but just what we've said, and by the way, everything I just said is supported by the Word of God and by the Scriptures. I can't imagine why anybody would want to say, I want to hook up with this guy, the devil, and spend my life under his power and his control when he hates me and he's going to lie to me and he walks around like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy me. I don't know why anybody in their right, sane mind would say, I'd rather choose to have the devil have the primary influence in my life rather than God. Hey, I want you to choose the Lord this morning. Hey, he chose you. He loves you. He's for you. He's your friend. He'll tell you the truth. And by the way, I want to tell you this too. Your preacher is your friend this morning. And I want to stand with the Lord and I want to tell you the truth and I want to preach the Bible, because when I preach the Bible, I promise you, you can be guaranteed it is the truth. If the Bible says it, you ought to believe it. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to preach on this subject, the father of all lies, the father of all lies. The devil is always synonymous with a lie, and Jesus is always synonymous with the truth. Jesus said in John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, or it's said of Jesus in John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Folks, listen to me. Jesus is always synonymous with the truth, associated with the truth. Jesus is the truth. And then we have on the other side of the coin, the father of all lies, the devil. We read a minute ago in John chapter 8, Jesus said this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I want to just kind of pull back the curtain and expose the devil this morning, all right? I want you to know who he is and what he is, okay? If you have a thought and that thought contains a lie, watch this. It wasn't you that thought it. It was the devil that whispered it. Let me say it again. If you have a thought come into your mind and you think you thought that thought, you did not think that thought. If it contains a lie, it was not your thought. It was the devil whispering that to you. Sometimes we as Christians begin to believe things that aren't true. And sometimes people begin to believe things. We get things in our mind. We get things stuck in our mind. We become convinced of things that aren't true. Listen, it wasn't you that thought of that. It was the devil that whispered it in your ear. He's a liar and the father of it. Satan is a deceiver. The word deceive means to make someone believe that which is not true, to fool someone or trick someone or mislead someone. In Revelation 12:9, the Bible says the great dragon, speaking of the devil, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Revelation 20 verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Revelation 20 verse 10, and the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now the devil knows that he's going to end up one of these days in the lake of fire. And there's nothing in the world he can do about that. God is greater than the devil. God is stronger than the devil. Anytime you see an encounter in the Gospels between Jesus and some of the demons or the devils, it's immediate surrender. It's an immediate acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is all powerful. They spoke from possessed men and said, please don't send us into the abyss. Please don't send us into darkness. I mean, there's never been anything, any type of a contest between God and the devil. The devil knows that he's doomed. The devil knows that God's going to win. So what's he going to spend his time on death row doing? He's going to spend his time trying to deceive you and to try to convince you not to believe in God and not to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and not get saved. He knows he's on his way to the bottomless pit. He knows he's on his way to the lake of fire, and he wants to drag every single person with him that he possibly can. So he's going to tell you a bunch of lies. He's a liar. Now, the only way he can fool you is to lie to you. Now watch this. When Christ spoke of the devil, of Satan, he spoke these words. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is a deceiver and a liar, and he's very successful at doing both things. The Bible says he deceived the nation. When you look at Revelation chapter 20 and all the people that end up at the great white throne judgment, and by the way, they go right from the great white throne judgment right into the lake of fire. Let me read to you about the people that are there. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. He goes to small people or average people or common people, and he deceives them and lies to them. But he also goes to great people, and I'm talking about rich people, and I'm talking about people of power and influence, and he lies to them and they listen to him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Say, preacher, how many people are going to be there at the great white throne judgment? I will tell you this. By the way, I can base it on scripture. There are going to be more people that end up believing the devil and falling for his lies and falling for his deceitfulness. There's going to be more people that believe him than believe the truth. The Bible says that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many go in thereat. And the Bible says narrow is the way that lead to eternal life. Watch this. And few there be that find it. That means that, watch this, more people. There's more people living in Jacksonville, Indiana today that'll end up in hell than'll end up in heaven. There's more people living in Greene County today, the vast majority of them will end up in hell instead of heaven. How in the world does the devil deceive someone? What is he telling them? How is he tricking them so that, hey, listen, we got churches all over the place. We have Bibles all over the place. What is going on? How in the world can the devil be so good at what he's doing that even in the in the United States of America, where there's churches and preachers and Christian radio stations and revival meetings and soul winners and gospel tracts, how can he still be so effective? Listen, he does so because he's a liar. And he's going to come to people and he's going to tell them something that's not true about eternity, not true about how to be saved. He's going to give them a lie, and if they're not careful, they'll believe that lie and end up in a devil's hell. Listen, no one's ever gotten saved until he or she becomes convinced that they're hopelessly lost. Satan is the deceiver. Satan's the liar. He spent all of human history trying to convince men and women and teenagers and children that, hey, you're all right, don't worry about it. He tells them they are safe when they are in eternal danger. He tells them they are heaven bound when the truth is that they are, with every second that passes, they're that much closer to hell. He tells them that they are good when in truth they're sinners. He tells them not to worry, not to think about it, when in truth they should be terrified that their next breath could be their last. Satan tells you you can always get saved later, when in truth, if you do not know that you know for sure that you're saved today, you shouldn't wait till this sermon's over. You ought to come forward and say, right now, preacher, I'm not taking a chance on eternity. I'm not taking a chance that I could die. I'm not taking a chance that the rapture could happen. I'm going to get saved now. By the way, you'd be welcome to come right now anytime during my sermon. I want you to be saved. With so much truth and with a Bible and Bible preachers and Christians witnessing, how does Satan convince so many that they're okay when in truth they're on their way to hell? I'm going to tell you about some of his lives, some of the ways that he deceives people. Number one, Satan deceives them into trusting in their religion. Satan deceives them into trusting in their religion. Now, I'm going to say something that might shock some of you. Watch this. Listen to me. Religion has sent more people to hell than all the taverns, all the houses of ill repute, all the back alley bars and temples of temptation. Listen, man's religion or false religion is sending more people to hell than any other thing in America today. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? What is religion? Religion, by definition, is an adopted system of beliefs. Something that somebody is convinced of and adopts as their belief system. False religion, then, by definition, is an adopted system of beliefs that are false. Somebody's got to them and said, this is how you get to heaven. Only guess what? It's not how you get to heaven. This is what you have to do in order to be ready to meet God. But guess what? They're not telling you the truth. And just because it says church on the outside on the sign, watch this, doesn't mean that the truth is being preached in that building. Now listen very carefully, and I want to help you with something, folks. Listen, there's many false religions out there. They offer hope, but it's a false hope. They may soothe the conscience, but they do not save the soul. They may be sincerely believed, but that sincerity is placed in a lie of the devil, wrapped in formalism and catechism. John chapter 3, I like this. There was a religious man that came to Jesus by night. A religious man. By the way, not just one of the pew sitters. This was a man who was a ruler in the synagogue, a teacher in the synagogue. If you'll let me say this, this was one of the preachers. And he came to Jesus by night. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Watch this. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, unto thee, ye must be born again. Here's a religious man. And he comes to Jesus. And you know what he says? Jesus says to him, ye must be born again. Well, wait a minute. I'm a ruler of the synagogue. Ye must be born again. But I was trained up in my religion from my youth. Ye must be born again. Listen to me, folks. You know what? You can join every church in the county and still split hell wide open. You can be baptized till you're wrinkled as a prune, but you know what? You can still split hell wide open. Salvation is not accomplished. Salvation is not obtained through some religious action. I had a man recently say this to one of our men. He said, are you ready for heaven? He said, well, I was saved as a baby, so I suppose I am. And what he meant by that is something was done to him as a child, as a baby. And when he was carried into church, probably somebody baptized him or christened him or did something. And he thought because somebody did a religious work on him and sprinkled some holy water on him that he was all set. Folks, listen to me. There's people telling, there are false religions teaching a wrong way to heaven, and they're scattered all over this area. And listen, what we've got to do is we've got to go to the Word of God and sort out the truth. Be careful now. Satan deceives many into trusting in their religion. In this same conversation in John chapter 3 with this religious man, we read these words from Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, religion is a lie. A lot of times it's couched with lies, and most religions will never get you lost enough to get you saved. I got to tell you a neat story. I had a man tell me Thursday night. By the way, I drove to Decatur. I asked our senior saints to pray for me. Thursday night, I preached in Decatur, Illinois, for Brother Dave Brown, Pastor Dave Brown's church there, Central Baptist Church. And there was a sweet thing that happened. There was a young man, and this isn't the story. I'm getting the story, but there was a young man whom they had, the preacher and his wife, and the other men that had spoke prior to me getting there. It was a week-long meeting, and I came in and just finished it out on Thursday and Friday. But the day before, they'd taken the speakers out to eat at a restaurant, and they invited the waiter to church and said, hey, why don't you come to the revival meeting? How many times have you done something like that, amen? But the neat thing is watch this. He came. He came. He came and sat on the third row right over here, and I preached that night, and he sat out there, and I mean, he was fully engaged and leaning forward and shaking his head, and when the invitation was given, he broke out, came forward, and received Jesus Christ as his Savior, because some Christian made sure that before he left the restaurant, he gave the guy a gospel tract and an invite to a revival meeting, and that young man got saved. Listen to me, folks. I want to tell you a neat story. I was After church on Thursday, we was rejoicing this young man's salvation, but one of the men of the church, one of the faithful men of the church came up and he said, "Can I tell you about when I got saved? By the way, I love to hear that. I'm glad he wanted to share it." I said, "I'd love to hear it." He said, it's a unique thing happened. He said, "I grew up in church. I grew up in religion." So he said, "I just always figured, you know, I'm all right." He said, "I mean, I had everything done to me that could possibly be done to me. And if somebody asked me, 'Do you know Jesus?' Well, sure, I know him. You know, 'Are you ready for heaven?' Well, sure, I am." But he said, "I'd never truly been born again. I'd never been saved. It was all based on some religious activity, something that I did." And he said, "I was 18 years old in the service." And he said, "I decided to go visit a church. And one of the buddies of mine said, 'Well, why don't you go to to a church? We'll go together.' And he said, 'Well, which church do you want to go to?' He said, 'I don't know.' He said, 'Well, I grew up a Baptist. Let's go to the Baptist church.' And he said, 'All right, sure.' You know, he was game. He was fine with that. 18 years of age. This is unusual. 18 years of age, he walks into this church and hears a gospel message. And he's listening to it. And there's part of something inside of him that's going, 'You know what? I don't know if what that man's talking about is the same thing that I've done.' He said, 'I started to walk out the door,' and he said, 'There was a preacher,' and he called his name, and I wish I could remember the preacher's name, and I don't. But he called his name, and he said, 'Have you ever met him?' I said, 'I don't know him.' He said, 'I'm going to tell you something. He loves souls.' And he said, 'I started to go out the door,' and he shook my hand, grabbed my hand, and he said, 'Thank you for coming.' And I said, 'Well, you're welcome.' And I started to move, and he held onto my hand. He said, 'Let me ask you, son, do you know Jesus?' And he said, I looked at him with a big smile and said, 'Yes, I do.' And he said, I started to move on, but he held onto my hand. And he said, I stepped back and he said, 'No, son, I mean, do you really know Jesus?' And he said, 'I really know Jesus.' And I gave him my best Jesus smile and I started to move and he wouldn't let go of my hand. And he said, 'Son, I was watching you during the preaching, and I don't know if me and you are talking about the same thing. Watch this.' He said, 'Would you stand right over there? Just stand right over there and let me finish shaking hands. I want to talk to you.' He said, I stepped over and thought to myself, 'Oh, my goodness sakes.' So he said, I stood there, and he shook all the people's hand. He came over and said, 'I want you to come to my office with me.' And he said, he took me in the office. He said, there was a couch there, and he said, 'Kneel down here with me.' And he knelt down and he said, I'm thinking, what is going on? And he said, 'Brother, let me tell you something.' He opened the Bible and for the first time, I understood the gospel. I understood what he was talking about. And he said, 'Preacher, I'm on my knees by this pastor weeping.' And he said, 'By the time I got up, I didn't just know about Jesus. I knew him as my personal savior." You know what the old preachers used to say? There's going to be a lot of people that miss heaven by 18 inches. That's about the distance from here to your heart. A lot of people say, "Oh, I know Jesus. I believe Jesus." You're talking about you believing up here. You believe about him. You believe he existed. But you've never truly in your heart received him as Savior. You know what you've got? Watch this. You've got religion. And the devil's telling you, that's enough. Watch this. Jesus said this. Remember, Jesus is going to tell you the truth. He said this, "Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." That's the truth. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? That's how the devil's populating hell. He's doing it because he's telling lies, and Satan deceives them into trusting in their religion. Number two, Satan deceives them into trusting in their own righteousness. You see, Satan loves to appeal to the pride of mankind because most of us have plenty of it. He whispers in our ear, "Who does that preacher think he is? I'm not that bad of a person. I try to help my neighbor. I'm a good citizen. I pay my taxes. I give to charity now and again. I'm better than a lot of other people. Who does he think he is telling me I'm going to hell?" Satan says this to you, "Get mad. Walk out. Don't let anybody talk to you like that, like you're not good enough to go to heaven." Folks, let me tell you something. I want you to understand this. Watch this. The truth is, there has never been a man or woman born who is good enough to go to heaven. If Jerry Ross got what I really deserved, I'd go to a devil's hell for all eternity. Because the honest truth is, no matter how good we try to be, we fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." Hey, I'll add another verse to that. 1 John 1:8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Romans 10, and the first three verses, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God to God for Israel that they may be saved. For I bear them record, watch this, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, what's that verse saying? The problem with Israelites and the average Jewish person was, you know what? They thought their own righteousness ought to be good enough for God. They went about to establishing their own righteousness, which means they worked very hard at being good to their neighbor, and they worked very hard at being the right kind of person. They worked very hard at doing good deeds, and I mean, they tried to follow the letter of the law, but you know what they failed to recognize is that they could try the best they could to do it, to do what God said, but you know what? They were going to fail, and they were going to sin, and everybody has failed, and everybody has sinned, and nobody's ever lived a perfect life except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, what the devil's going to do is come to you, and he's going to say, hey, you're good enough. You don't need to go forward in some church and kneel down and confess your sins and repent of them and forsake them and turn to Christ. You're good enough. You're not that bad. That's the devil whispering in your ear. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's trying to get you to trust in your own righteousness. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards all men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done. I don't care how good you try to be and how much you do. I promise, listen, please listen to me. The truth is being spoken here. God's word is truth. The devil's a liar. God says this, you have to be saved. Nobody's good enough. We've all sinned. And the devil's sitting over here saying, don't listen to that. You're good enough. You're fine. You don't need to be saved. You're not that bad. Hey, here's the question. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? And the devil, sadly, has gotten a lot of people to buy into the lie. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say what you will, preacher, but I'm not that bad of a person. Say what you want to, preacher, I'm not that bad of a person. There's a whole lot of people worse than I am. I'm good enough to get to heaven on my own. You know what? You didn't think that was whispered to you. You didn't conjure that up in your mind. It was delivered. And by the way, take a sniff real quick, because I think you'll smell a little brimstone. You'll smell a little fire, because Smutty Face has been here. He's been lying to you, because there's not a person in the world that is good enough to get to heaven on their own. You know what? We all need the grace of God. We all need the forgiveness of God. I was knocking on doors. I like telling this story. I was knocking on doors in Clay City, Indiana. And I knocked on a guy's door, and he was a deacon in one of the churches there in town. And he was quick to tell me that. And he began to list his pedigree of the different religious things that he was a part of, and the activities, and the social clubs, and the good that he did. And he spent several minutes documenting to me the fact that he was both religious and good. And so I listened to all of this, and then I said, sir, okay, thank you very much, and that's good. I said, let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And he took a step back, and his eyes got this big around, and he literally began to turn red, and he literally, I mean it, folks, physically began to start trembling, and he got so angry with me, and he said, how dare you ask me a question like that? And I thought to myself, I ask everybody that question. That's how I dare do it. And he said, how dare you? I just told you that you were a deacon, or that I was a deacon. I just told you about the things that I've been doing. I just told you, listen, about all of the activities I'm involved. How dare you ask me something like that? And I said, listen to me, sir. I said, you know what? There are deacons that are saved and on their way to heaven, and there's deacons that are lost and on their way to hell. There's members of organizations, charitable organizations, and social organizations that are saved and on their way to heaven. I said, none of that's going to get you to heaven. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know 100% sure that you're saved? And man, I mean, he just was furious. He began to yell and holler, and he slammed the door in our face. And then I began to walk down the sidewalk, and I think we're dismissed. And I began to leave, and he wasn't done. He came out the door, came down the sidewalk, chased us to the end of his property. He's letting me have it. He's like, you owe me an apology. You owe me an apology. You owe me an apology. And I turned around finally. I said, sir, listen to me. I didn't stop here today to upset you. But I said, I will never apologize for asking somebody the question, do you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven? I said, sir, listen to me. I'm leaving your property. But if you were truly saved, that question wouldn't bother you at all. You are trusting in your church activity and your church position and your good works, and those things will take you to hell. You must repent of your sins and receive Jesus as your Savior. And I mean, he screamed and hollered and ordered us off the property, and we went to the next house, and he stood in his yard and hollered at us for a while and then went back in his house. But let me tell you something, folks. Watch this. You know what? The man just bought into some lies. He just bought into some lies. Hey, I'm not mad at him. He's just, you know what? Somebody's lied to him. Because God says this. See, you say, preacher, do you think Jesus would have done what you did? I think Jesus would have looked at him and said this, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, I think that what we were doing that day is exactly what Jesus spent his time on earth doing. Jesus was never impressed by somebody's religious pedigree. You know what? Matter of fact, the people that he had the most problem with while he was here on earth were people that were all caught up in their religion but didn't truly have a heart, a repentant heart towards Christ and true faith in Jesus and what he was going to do on Calvary's cross. Now, folks, listen to me. Is the devil lying to you? Is the devil lying to you? Has he told you that you're good enough? Let me give you the last one, number three. Not only does Satan deceive people into trusting in their religion, or Satan deceive them in trusting in their own righteousness, Satan sometimes deceives them into trusting in their own immortality. Immortality. What do you mean? I mean that the devil will try to get you to believe that you're going to live forever. I said this here a while back. I'm going to repeat it. I don't think the devil's ever told anybody not to get saved. I think he just always says this, do it tomorrow. One of his best tricks is to come to somebody. Like, folks, listen, the sermon's winding down. We're going to have invitation in a minute. I guarantee you the devil's already whispering in some of your hearts, yeah? And, you know, God's saying, here's God on this side saying, you must be born again. He's telling you the truth. You ought to get saved today. And there's still another voice that comes and says, well, even if it is the truth, you don't have to do it this morning. I mean, you can do it tomorrow. You can do it next Sunday. You can do it next year. Wait till you're an adult. Wait till you're older. Wait till you're on your deathbed. I mean, listen, the devil will always try to get you to put off salvation one more day. You know why? Because if you put it off one more day, he's got a chance of getting your soul. If you put it off one more day, the rapture might happen. If you put it off one more day, you might get killed in a car wreck. Something happened. You know what? And then he'll say, do it tomorrow. And tomorrow will come and you'll say, you know what? Maybe I ought to get saved. And he'll say the same thing. Do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow will come and he'll come along and say, well, you know what he'll say? Do it tomorrow. And he'll, you know what? He can tomorrow you right into the lake of fire. You know how many people intended to get saved? And thought that one day they would get saved, and the devil whispered in their ear and said, don't do it. Listen, you don't want to give up your sin. You don't want to give up the type of life you're living. You don't want to lay all that aside for Jesus. Just put it off for a while. You can always do it later. Young people, teenagers, please listen to me. This is one of the favorite tricks that he uses on young people. You know what? You can serve the Lord later. You can get saved later. You know, go do your own thing. Don't. If you become a Christian, you know there's going to thing. He'll tell you there's things you have to give up. Listen, watch this. Anything that you have to give up for Christ, I promise you, is not to be compared what you're going to get from Christ for doing it. This world doesn't have a whole lot of happiness in it, and it offers all of this stuff. But I'm going to tell you something when it boils right down to it. One day in the will of God makes you happier than a lifetime spent serving the devil. I read something, and I'm closing down, but I read something the other day, and I had to laugh. Oh, Billy Sunday, evangelist Billy Sunday. I'll tell you what, I wish the Lord had sent him back for a couple weeks. We need Billy Sunday crisscrossing America again, lifting up his voice. Boy, he was a plain-spoken preacher. And you know what he said? He said this. I think I got the quote almost word for word. Watch this. He said this. The only reward the devil can offer you for a life of service is an eternity in hell. The only reward that the devil can offer you for a life of service is an eternity in hell. Young people, listen to me. Don't listen to that liar. Oh, if you get saved, you're not going to be happy. Excuse me, let me ask you this. How happy are you now? Really? How happy are you now? Really happy? You know, if you give your life to the Lord, you know what, man alive, you're going to be giving up so much. Folks, let me tell you something. I spend my life helping people pick up the pieces of their life that have believed that lie when they were young. You're not going to give up anything. You're going to get everything. God is telling you the truth, and the devil is telling you a lie. Say, preacher, if I'm not to trust in religion, and I'm not to trust in my own righteousness, and I'm not to trust in my immortality, what am I to trust in? Watch this. You're to trust in the truth. The devil deceives with a lie, and Christ delivers with the truth. What is the truth, preacher? John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said this, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the truth. You know what? We all are sinners, but Jesus died for our sins. And he was buried and he rose again. He paid your sin debt. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm done. Look right up here. I'm done. You know what? There's a great battle going on right now in this auditorium. If you're here without Jesus as your Savior. God is trying to amplify what the preacher is reading. He's trying to get the truth to you. And the devil, I promise you, is just as busy in this room trying to convince you of a lie. If you are here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I mean, you don't know 100% sure that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven. And God is working in your heart and you feel the presence of God, the drawing of the Father, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I don't know whether or not I'm saved. Something's going on inside of me that I don't really get, preacher, but I know I'm concerned about it. And I know God's trying to do something. I promise you this, there's also present within your mind the words of the devil saying, don't do it. You'll be embarrassed. Don't do it. People, what will people say? What will your friends say? Well, listen, stop. Tell the devil, shut up. Stop lying to me. I've listened to your lies my whole life. I'm done listening to you. I'm going to turn to God. Jesus is the truth. And he loved me and he died for me and he wants me to have an eternity in heaven and you want me to burn with you forever in hell. I ain't listening to you, devil. I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to take the salvation that's available to me today. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Nobody looking around. Let's sit very still, very quiet for just a second. This is an important time, a vital, vital time. Let me speak to you for just a moment. You may have come to church today and say, preacher, you know what? At the conclusion of this message, I realized something. I need to be saved. I'm not saved. I don't have any peace in my heart about eternity. And I don't know for sure if I was to die right now, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I have some concern about that. I know what it's like to go to church lost. I know what it's like to sit there and hear a preacher preach and have God work on my heart. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Best day in my life is when I decided that I was going to listen to God and, and say to the devil, get behind me, I'm done listening to you. The day that I stepped out and walked forward and shook the preacher's hand and just said, I need to be saved. And you know what? Thank God for an old preacher that knelt down with an open Bible and went through the scriptures and made sure I understood it. And that day I prayed and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've tried best I can, and I'm not perfect, folks. I promise you I'm not. But since that day, I've tried to listen to God and believe Him because He's going to tell me the truth. I want to be on the winning side. And God's going to win this whole thing, folks. The devil, he's already lost. He's a loser and he's already lost and he's a liar and he's going to try to make you a loser. Don't let him do that in your life. Say, preacher, if I died right now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for sure, but God's working on my heart. God is working on my heart, preacher. I think I need to be saved. God's working on my heart. By the way, I won't embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. If that's you today, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't believe I'm saved. I just don't believe I'm saved, but God's working on my heart. Can I pray for you? Just slip your hand up. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved, and I'd like to receive Jesus as my Savior. Would you raise your hand up so I can see that hand? Don't be shy, all over the auditorium. Preacher, that's me. God's speaking to my heart right now, and I don't know for sure about eternity. I don't know for sure whether or not I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it. Anybody at all? I'm looking on the right-hand side. I'm looking on the left-hand side. Slip your hand up real quick and just say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure about salvation. Anybody like that at all? Anyone? Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in our midst. And I pray, dear God, that as you speak to hearts, Lord, that if there's someone here without Christ, they'd be willing to step forward and come and receive Jesus as their Savior. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to preach the gospel. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless this invitation. In Jesus' name.